Okay, we're here with Chris Epps. I'm David Lauderdale, Brian Tolley, and Rick Brundrett. We're Chris, you are first political race, I presume.
Yes, sir.
You're from here. Why are you running for a school board?
Well, mainly I have a four-year-old daughter, and I really want to have the best education as she can possibly have. I also grew up here, so I'm a product of the school system, so I've been involved in it. I know its difficulties, some of the teachers can be way beyond. And I just want to, you know, I think it's a chance that I can give back to the community. And the decisions that I'm making today will affect my daughter the most and affect children of this community the most, you know. And when I was going through the leadership class, I was actually in the inaugural leadership class of the Greater Bluffton Chamber, when we were talking to some of the local politicians, the school board members, I really saw a need for somebody to come in that had the passion, that had the heart, and knew the community to come in and maybe try to solve some of its problems.
You said something there about teachers being way beyond. What did you mean?
Oh God, I could tell you these teachers that I was a difficult student. I was one of those misunderstood. And I had teachers that really went above and beyond to try to reach me. And they did. I had a couple of English teachers. Miss Fields was my first and third grade teacher, taught me mathematics. She was not, you know, which really put me up there. My art teachers who really, you know, I had a hard time. And so they pulled me aside and they gave me art, which I originally went to school for sculpture and ceramics. I'm an architectural major. Mm-hmm. If you see my bio, I talk about how I didn't do well first time around. And now I learned the tools that I really need to be successful. My parents say I got married to a wonderful woman, and she pushed me to go back, but I hope it was some of my pushing. And I went to night school and worked myself back up, got an honor society scholarship to go back to SCAD and get my degree, and I graduated close to honors, but unfortunately when I went back I only had a GPA of 1.3. Really low, and I pulled it up to a 3.48. This close. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to live with the consequences that you did before. And it's all about what you do afterwards. You know, a lot of people, they might mess up, but it's what you do afterwards that matters.
So are you in business here? Are you working for someone in town?
I own my own firm. Over the summertime, I went through my licensing. I was working under a different firm, and I really quickly realized definitely with my activity with the Historic Preservation Commission that I needed to be on my own, so I didn't have somebody that can persuade me to do something. I won't go into details, but it really, an instant came clear that I needed to be able to work on my own, so I own my own firm. We also own the toy store that was on Calhoun Street for a while, and we, both me and my wife got headhunted out.
Well, tell me about some of the issues that have been in the news on the school board. How about housing for teachers, retention of teachers?
Retention of teachers and housing. Well, the housing, I really feel, coming back from the architectural background, that we need to find a different way of making it more affordable for teachers to live here. One of the ways, when I was club administrator for the Rotary Club, I met the new chancellor of USCB, and he came up with a genius idea, I thought, was having a local pipeline for local people to become a teacher in this area. Now, that's great because the citizens who grew up here, we have safety nets. We have people who help us out. We also are adapted to unique challenges and opportunities that one would find here. So a lot of times they'll come down, they might have a child and they can't afford child care, so the locals will have, like myself, if it wasn't for my parents, that would be real difficult because my parents helped me take care of my daughter. And being connected to the community, knowing each other's kids, I think that that'd be a great way to solve one of those problems. Another one, when we get back to a big issue for me is openness and gaining back the trust of the community. Until we gain trust back everybody's going to second guess our decisions as a school board. Now that can be easy and that can be difficult. One, we need less closed door sessions and more open discussions. We need to bring the media and stop the gag order and talking to the media. What they say, a free press is a cornerstone to a healthy democracy. We also need to show some sun into the local politics around here and how things happen. Now, if you don't do that, the public are going to fill in the blanks with answers that might not be truth. And they'll start doubting and so forth. Well, how do we gain the trust? Well, you know, Moss has done some good things, you know, bringing welding into the schools, bringing trade in. But he also has ethics violations. And I think right now, it's unfortunate we have to do it. I think we have to let him go to start this healing process, if you will, and getting back on track.
So you think that's unrepairable?
Unfortunately, at this point, I think we've gone too far into it to come back. It's really, if one of the teachers did that, you know, the teacher would be gone.
And so if you're elected to the board, but the majority of the board doesn't agree with you, then how do you proceed? How do you see us proceeding?
Well, that's the difficult part. Luckily, with my ties with the community and ties with both sides of the Broad River, you work towards it. You lead by example. You talk to somebody by death, and you don't do an emotional argument. You do a solid argument. This is the facts. This is why we have to do it. And you argue those points over and over again, and you'll find that you start swaying some people. And when you do that, that's how you do it. And, you know, we've all seen 12 Angry Men. You know, it happens. You can convince somebody of something. Now, that's a bad example using that play, but slowly but steadily, if you show yourself as a trustworthy person, you show yourself somebody with integrity, people listen to you. And that's how I truly believe we can start working together as a community. Because, let's face it, we're all in this together.
When you spoke out against the sales tax, you mentioned that we need to fix the spending problem first. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, some of the things that I used an example, sometimes it seems, you know, not every child needs a tablet at such an early age. They're great, and that's how we will learn in the future. And some of the programs we use for it cost some money. I'd rather use that money to pay the teachers better. When it comes to the sales tax and mentioning, I believe that as an architect, and I don't want to micromanage, but I can ask the right questions to see if we can save and value engineer. I know where it's coming from. I do catchment studies, I do feasibility studies, and I have a very hands-off approach. I rather ask questions and give my opinion and let them do their job. But these questions will come informed.
Well, what is your problem with the penny sales tax, with the 1% sales tax?
Well, it doesn't solve the major issue of teacher pay. I know that we can't do that with a referendum, and that's why we need to actually work with the state legislature, you know, to do that. We also, when we were talking about working with the state system, allow for, as it stands right now, you can only joint enroll into a two-year university, not a four-year university. So we need to change those two items, being able to use a local referendum for teacher pay and be allowed to joint enroll into a four-year university. And the other one, some of the numbers, I won't go into details, just don't add up. We can look at maintenance, and like I said, the way that they calculate our needs in the future, we need to be a little bit more forward-thinking. see where we can, like I said, value engineer. But we will need it. We're going to be the bedroom community for the Newport. And so we're going to need expansion. But I think at this moment, the biggest problem is that we don't have the trust of the community. So when we talk about these things, they don't believe us. It could be some truth to what we need in the future. But if you always get in doubt, you know, I hate to go back to getting the trust back from the public, but...
If you believe that trust is the biggest problem right now, you're tying that specifically to the ethics violation of Mr. Moss, and if so, and in your earlier statement that you think that it would be best for the district if he were let go,
mm-hmm.
How would you ensure a new superintendent, how would you screen a new superintendent going forward to make sure that there are no ethical issues that could arise?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It was really easy just to Google his past and see what he did in North Carolina. So I think the way that they looked at him was not so thorough. So we need to actually talk to the teachers under him, that were under his, the next person, him or her. But maybe we should look within our own role. You know, we have excellent principals. We have excellent teachers. Maybe we should bring somebody up that already knows the system instead of hiring somebody from far away who know how difficult it is to live here and its beauty and what the community has to offer in volunteer and arts.
Have you been to a lot of the school board meetings?
Like last night, I watched it online. I because sometimes I just don't talk at, I don't feel like the best to talk at some of them. So I watch them online. Like last night, I was watching, we had some really good principals. Unbelievable principals. And I was amazed by some of the Sea Island principals came up there and talked and how passionate they were about their students. So luckily, they're posted online. And so I watch a lot of times online.
So just as an example, last night's meeting about makeup days.
Mm-hmm.
And so you obviously know how all that went down. As a board member, if you mm-hmm. were a board member, do you think that process went properly? Would you have adjusted that in some way?
Now, they got, even though the way that the students, or that the parents actually, and the staff both voted for to kind of take it away from Christmas, it seems like a little bit more. The process went pretty well in the fact that they asked what people's opinions were. Now, that process, they got to this process, might not have been the best, but getting a questionnaire from the public, I think, was the better route to doing it. And then taking the different opinions and coming together and saying, what would be the best way to do this? Now, they chose to do the Christmas path, which was not what everybody else wanted to do, but it seemed a right way to go that way.
So your priorities, what is your top priorities? You mentioned something about joint 4-year.
Yeah.
What is that?
I have a little insight on how my wife is from Prague. My daughter's first generation Czech and fifth generation Bluftonian. So, yeah, believe it or not. And so the way that their system's set up a little different than ours, their schools are more trade schools. Say, if you go to a high school that, say, is a agricultural high school or a medical high school. So when you leave school, you pretty much have what we would call an associate's degree. So if you didn't choose to go to a college, you're prepped to go straight into the workforce or come up with your own business. And I think we need to push ourselves a little bit further into making our students a little bit more competitive to schools and just being a little bit better prepared for the new, by the workforce that we need for the ports. They're going to be really heavily drawing on Beaufort County. And one of the biggest complaints I hear from business owners is they cannot find educated students. Now, I'm not saying they're not educated, that they're not ready to be in the workforce. Lacking wanting to show up the job on time, lacking trainability. We need to work with the local and prepare similar students to be able to fulfill those jobs by teaching them the basis of how we work within a workforce. It took me a long, and I can only draw upon my personal life. You know, when I left school, I didn't know how to come up with a budget. I didn't know what my future employers really were looking at for somebody that could actually work within the workforce. And so I had a lot of difficulties until later on that I had to go through a couple different jobs to really learn how to do it.
Or do you think they've done the right thing with the ACE?
No, I'll bring that back. They've done great at bringing welding back and some of the trades they brought back, and they've done a real good job at doing that.
To ACE or to the schools?
To the schools. Mm-hmm. How we're handling ACE and joining with Jasper County, we have more money in our coffers than Jasper County. And so I see it as we can help them and help our neighbors out, and ACE can be a very good school if we work together. Right now, it seems to be a little bit too much of a turf war and who controls what. I had some friends go to ACE, and they loved it. It fills a void for students who don't think the traditional route is right for them. So they go out there and they learn a very good trade. Now, TCL can fill that in, too. And I'm not a graduate. I went to TCL, and it fills a void also. And so we really need those. I had a lot of friends who were told they needed to go to college, and went to college and went there for a year, found out that that wasn't right for them, but now they have $30,000 in student loans. And now they're going out and having this giant debt on their back, unfortunately. And so not everybody wants to go to college or needs, you know, we need blue-collar jobs, we need programming jobs, we need people to help work our tourist industries, to help work our medical industries. And I think that's a really good role that ACE could provide, and TCL could provide, and USCB could provide.
What's your other priority?
I believe we really need to stop. We need to go to our teachers, not micromanage our teachers, but go to them and honestly go and say, what tools do you need to do your job better? What can I provide for you? How do you think, since you're a camera into the classroom, the school system should provide? So instead of a top-down approach, we need an approach from the teachers up. We work for the teachers. We work for the students. We work for the teachers. I mean, the parents. And when we do that and say, how do I clear your path to the success? And I think that's one of my main goals, is we need to help our teachers, because right now they're underpaid, overworked, and somewhat underappreciated sometimes. And it's unbelievable of some of the stuff they're doing, the principals and the teachers. And let's clear the path and let them do their job. You know, could you imagine what they would do if they didn't have to do all the paperwork they would have to do every day and the planning, you know, the testing they have to do?
Well, what sets you apart from three others for want this position? What?
I want people to look at the way that I make decisions. As an art, you know, and how do I come up with plans? One, I'm a Rotary member, so we have a four-way test. Is it beneficial to all? is it right for every, you know, these tests. So when I make a decision, I look, I answer the four questions, you know, does this answer go through these? Is it, and then as an architect, I look at the problem, or say a client comes to me and says, I need this to be done. I go to my consultants, I get their opinion. Okay, you need X, Y to do this, you need to do this. I bring that together and create a plan. In that plan, I find out, okay, does this solve our problem, or does it go to it? Then I say, okay, let's go with this plan. This is how we finish it out. And I think we need to have that approach. So how would I do that in education? Well, we have a large gap in education right now in some of the lower income, some of the minority versus others. So I would go to the teachers because they're the ones, like I said, the camera in the classroom. How do we achieve this goal? Well, these are the problems we foresee it. These are the problems we think are the solutions. Contact the board's consultants and saying, how do you think this would do it? Contact the parents. How do you think? Take all that information in. It's a lot of information. Come up and go like, okay, I think that this is how we can achieve this. Then you go like, come up with a plan. Then you go back to each one and say, do you think this will work out? To each person that has skin in the game. And we all agree. And then say, okay, here's the plan. Let's do it. We all know, we have all been at the same table. We know what's going on. Let's see if this works. And then come back and keep looking at that plan and saying, is it working? Is it working? And I think that's a better approach to doing things. Another one, I have skin in the game. I have a four-year-old. So the decisions that are made today will affect her and affects my friends' kids and the community's kids. And also, I'm really in it. It's really hard to live around here as a young person. Just not enough money. Economic development through education. I hate using the word economic development. It's overused, but we really, truly will have economic development through education. Let's face it, large companies can get tax credits, they can get land anywhere. They can't get educated people everywhere. So we can bring them in, we can bring the tech jobs in, saying we have an educated workforce, we'll work with them. And I give Moss, will do that, he has done this. He will, he's available to work with companies to come up with an educated workforce. I just can't get over the ethics and some of the other things like the bullying of the child on the bus. And we can really have some great, because this area is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And at one time, you know, Beaufort was the center of the politics, the financial of South Carolina. And I think we can be back to that. I mean, look at Greenville. Look at their education. Look what BMW's done. They're gangbusters out there. We have to work on our education system to get the big jobs here. And until that happens, we're just going to get the Walmarts with minimum wage. That only thing you can pay for is your cell phone and your credit cards and your student loan debt. And you can't invest that your money into the community and buy services and goods. And that's kind of what I think about it.
Have you had any conversations with other board members, sitting board members, Laura Bush?
I sat with Laura Bush when I decided to run. I sat with Joseph. And I sat with Bill Evans during my leadership. And I sat with Moss during my leadership and talked to him about me wanting to run. I was asked by Bill Herb Kurzman to run because he believed in and saw what I was doing in the community. And he thought I was a very good role and heard how I came through the school system and knew that I was very into it and I was a liaison, which is Rotary in high school, so I saw firsthand some of the difficulties that there were there. Saw firsthand and what these students can achieve if given, you know, believed in. So I've talked to some of them and talked about the difficulties, what they believe is the school, you know, the challenges and the strengths of the school. So I have talked to them.
Have you other endorsements come to mind? Bill Herb Kurzman, is he working for you? Or?
Mm-hmm. He's been, and just how to run for office, he's been a very big mentor in how to do that. He's helped me in different areas. He's told me about the, you know, I was on the Southern Delegate. He helped me get on the Southern Delegation for Anti-Bullying Task Force. You know, he kind of just mentored me in a little bit of those directions. And he's been an asset the whole entire time.
As you've been on the campaign trail and gone to forums and stuff, what are you hearing from the community?
I've talked to some of the teachers privately because it's difficult for them to talk publicly. I hear the resonation that we need to gain trust back into, and I think a lot of people are just stuck on that, and that's why we need it. That's our number one goal, is when we do that, we can actually move on to other issues. The economic development through education, I really have a hard time at finding employees. And I hear a lot of parents who are in the same boat as me, who just want the best for their child. And they chose this area because of that. And I hear from the realtors that they say, look, we need a strong education system because when this port comes, they're going to look for a bedroom community. And we can be that bedroom community. So I'm hearing some of that, and I'm just hearing a lot of people who are just kind of concerned with the way it goes. Because I think education, and we're all parents, as parents, we know it goes beyond party lines, that we need a good, strong education system. We want the best for our children. We want the best for other people in this community's children. And they're just kind of concerned about how it looks. And maybe I can help with a little bit of that. I know I've helped with getting some of these issues out there and just talking about them and talking about what people feel. I felt that I've gotten a lot of just awareness to what's going on, awareness to economic development, awareness to ethics, and awareness of how we should present ourselves in the community, awareness of how a true leader should look like.
Well, do you think that the school district should be in the housing? I mean, we talked about teacher pay, but the housing end of it, did you speak to that?
No, I don't think, and I've come out with this, I think it was either CARE or the Real Estate Board, or one of the questionnaires I came, I don't think we should, the education system should be in the development game. One, oftentimes, it will become over budget. We need to leave it to the people who are experts of that, and we need to find different solutions. I think instead of spending that money to develop, I think we could spend that money to actually pay the teachers a little bit more and go that route instead of going the development route. And another one, say I'm a teacher and I'm finding something that's wrong with, and I see something that's going on, and I feel like whistleblowing. But I live in the housing of the school board. I might be afraid to speak my mind because I could be kicked out of my house. And that's really why I think it should be separate. I mean, you can almost go down to Maslow's pyramid of needs at that point. You know, you feel comfortable enough in your housing. If I don't feel comfortable, I might lose my house if I speak my mind. And I think a lot of teachers were finding out aren't feeling enough comfort to whistleblow or speak their mind right now because of...
With about 1 minute left, is there anything that you wanted to say that we haven't asked? Or is there anything that somebody wanted to ask?
I really think that we need to look at being a more open board. We need the press is our way to get our issues out to the community. And that's why we really need to work with the local media and educate our people through the local media. And we need to have the local media there to call us on some of the things we're doing wrong. You know, it's a give or take. And we see this a lot of times now. I mean, that's what they're there for. And also, I'm a parent. I want a good school system for my daughter. I want a good school system for, and I have to reiterate, for the community's sons and daughters. I had a really difficult time growing up, and I don't want them to have to go through the same difficulties that I did, being from Bluffton, and how it was perceived of people from Bluffton to be, and just difficulty in learning and being disassociated, you know, franchised from the education system because it wasn't fit for me. And if I can get in there and help at least one or two kids, God, it's a good feeling and it's a good thing to do.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop us there then. Thank you.